Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 24. We're still in our series called Parables, the stories Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to get some sincere, real talk from Jesus Christ today, as He's been doing, as He always does. The title of this morning's message is Real Talk for the Familiar and the Far Off. No, Jesus doesn't dance around the issue. He doesn't skirt issues. He doesn't try to come at things in strange ways. No, He's real. He brings the real issues to bear on our hearts, and His Word is authoritative. Luke chapter 14, starting from verse 12, let me read it, and then we'll dive into the context and see what God has for us today. I believe so much. All right, verse 12, he said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he, Jesus, said to him, here comes the parable. "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything now is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled.'" Verse 24, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Okay, real talk from Jesus Christ for us. He's not dancing around the issues. Real talk for the familiar and the far off. Let's start with this. Real talk from the teachings of Jesus. First, we have, if you have a pen, write this down. Number one, a warning to the familiar. A warning to the familiar. That's the first thing I want us to see. Look at it. Verse 12 again. He said also to the man who had invited him, this is the word of the Lord, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." What exactly is happening here? Well, we will understand what is happening here when we dig deep and understand and remember the context of these words of Jesus Christ. Remember the context. Jesus has been invited to a Sabbath dinner at the house of a prominent Pharisee, the Bible tells us. And so this is a gathering of all the big guns in the religious world. There's a bunch of prominent rulers of the Pharisees there. And you got to remember that Jesus has just healed a man yet again on the Sabbath. We unpacked that last week. The religious leaders were upset with Jesus again, but they were speechless. Why were they upset? You remember last week? They were upset because Jesus was breaking their legalistic rules of what should and shouldn't be done on the Sabbath, all the while they themselves consistently and hypocritically breaking their own rules. They were hypocritical. And so you'll remember last week that Jesus confronted their hypocrisy with a parable of how guests at a banquet should think namely with humility. Remember, Jesus noticed that they were clamoring for the greatest seat of greatest honor at the dinner table, and this has just happened, and Jesus corrected them, said, don't look to take the highest seat, take the lowest seat. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of humility, not self-exaltation. Well, now Jesus pivots away from the parable that focused on the humility of the guest, and he pivots towards a different parable, the one we just read, that's focused on the hospitality of the host. I want you to notice it again, verse 12 to 14. It says, he said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. So I want us to live in the text. You have to live in the text. You have to act like you're there. I want us to live in the text for a moment. You need to understand that this dinner party, this Sabbath dinner, has become very tense and very uncomfortable very quickly. The moment Jesus walked into the home of this prominent Pharisee, he's been doing things and saying things that are making them all feel very uncomfortable. In fact, Luke records on two occasions in the verses we read last week that in response to Jesus' words and actions, they had nothing to say. This is the epitome of an awkward moment. Jesus is calling them out. He is exposing their hypocrisy. He's not backing off. I mean, do we do that when we're invited to walk into someone's home? Do we start calling them out on all the things they're doing wrong? Well, Jesus is bold, and he knows his purpose is there. It is not to put on a good face and have a nice meal. He has a purpose that's much greater. And so we've seen this. He's already called them out on their anger at him for healing people on the Sabbath, all the while they're doing far lesser things on the Sabbath. He's exposed their hypocrisy. He's called them out in the exact moment they were clamoring for the seat of greatest honor, and he points out their excessive pride. And now in our text, Jesus is calling them out for only inviting the prominent, for only inviting the distinguished, for only inviting the popular, and forgetting about the poor and the needy and the underprivileged. This is a very tense scene, and I want you to live in for a moment. Someone invites you to their house and they start calling you out on everything. This is an awkward moment. Notice it again, verse 12 to 13. This is the word of God. He says, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest also they invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. So at this point, they're looking around and saying, no poor here. There's no lame here. There's no crippled here. There's no blind here. And they're feeling the tense reality of the moment. Pastor Alistair Begg illustrates it this way. This might help you understand the intensity of the moment. You're at a dinner party. Maybe you've been in this situation before. You're enjoying the food so much, but you're not just enjoying the food, you're indulging in the food. Maybe it's a wedding you've been to and you're just eating, serving number one, serving number two, serving number three, and now in front of you is this plate with this big piece of cake and ice cream and chocolate sauce on top, and you pick up your fork and you're about to dig into this amazing piece of cake. I mean, you're feeling full, but you're like, man, I'm here, I'm at the feast, I might as well go for it. And as you're about to dig in, someone at your table says casually to someone next to them, man, did you see that commercial on TV yesterday? And my heart was so heavy, so brokenhearted. I saw that commercial about the poverty and extreme hunger in the Sudan, children dying of malnutrition and related diseases, and you're like, about to eat, and all of a sudden you put the fork down and you realize, man, I'm just thinking about myself. And you feel a little bit embarrassed. And you hope no one else is watching you. You feel a little bit humiliated. That's kind of what's happening here in this situation. This is how the Pharisees are feeling in this moment. I want you to look at it again. Notice verse 13 to 15 as Jesus corrects them. He says, but when you give a feast, invite the poor. Where are the poor? Not there. The crippled? Nope. The lame? The blind? And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Watch this now. Verse 15. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. So it might sound like he's saying something good, but most commentators agree that this is a moment where this guy now is feeling a little bit awkward. He's feeling the tense moment, and he just pontificates, and he throws out this religious platitude to try to dampen the feeling of embarrassment that Jesus' words had brought upon them. You see, all the Jews believed in an end-time resurrection and a great banquet that would take place in God's eternal kingdom. And so he's just throwing this out there like, yeah, everyone will be blessed when we get to the kingdom one day when we eat at the banquet. Notice Jesus' response in verse 16 to 18. He essentially says, okay, speaking of the great banquet in the kingdom of God, verse 16, but he, Jesus, said to him, here's a parable. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. It's really important for us to understand that there were two elements to an invitation to a banquet in the Middle East in the first century. This will help you understand. There was the invitation that was sent out in advance to communicate that on such and such a day, there is a banquet taking place and you are invited, so mark that day in your calendar. But there was a second element. There was the invitation that went out on the day of the banquet, communicating that the banquet is now ready. You can come now. The banquet is here. The banquet is ready. In the same way, theologically speaking, there were two aspects to the coming kingdom of God. There were the Old Testament prophecies announcing that the kingdom of God was coming. Everyone in the room that day would have been very familiar with all the Old Testament prophecies and announcements of the coming kingdom. But there's a second element. There was the New Testament fulfillment announcing that the kingdom of God was now here in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So speaking of eating bread in the kingdom of God, Jesus uses this parable to convey this truth to all these prominent Pharisees in the room that yes, there will be a great banquet coming at the end of the age. And you're right. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But are you sure you're coming? That's what he's saying. Are you sure? Are you so sure you're coming to that banquet? You see, no one was more familiar with the Old Testament announcements of the future coming kingdom than this room of prominent Pharisees. But here's their fatal problem. They failed to see and rightly respond to the current announcement that the kingdom of God had now arrived, had now been inaugurated, is now being introduced in the arrival of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said on another occasion, the kingdom of God is among you, that the rule and reign of God is seen in the arrival and the advent of Jesus Christ that has come to the earth. We see this very clearly as the parable goes on. Notice it in verses 18 to 20. But they all alike began to make excuses. See, Jesus is illustrating that they've missed the point. They knew, they were very familiar with the fact that the kingdom of God was coming, but they had missed the point completely that the kingdom of God had now arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. They all began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Living in the text, you need to understand that it would have been crystal clear for everyone listening to this parable that these three excuses were all illegitimate excuses. That all these three excuses were all last-minute bailouts because the people that were invited did not want to come to the banquet. So they made excuses. In the parable, no one would buy a field and after the fact feel the need to go and see it. No, all that gets done before you buy the field. This is an illegitimate excuse. They don't want to go to the banquet. No one would buy oxen and after the fact feel the need to go and examine them. No, all that hard work is done in advance. No, but this is an excuse. They don't want to go to the banquet. And no one would need to miss a banquet because they got married. Just take your wife with you. No, this is an excuse. They don't want to go to the banquet. Now, here's the point. It's a very dangerous thing to be all too familiar with the kingdom of God if you have other priorities that come before the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that again. It's a very dangerous thing to be all too familiar with the kingdom of God if you have other priorities that come before the kingdom of God. This is a warning to the familiar. And this may be a warning for you. You know the gospel, you've heard the invitation to come to Jesus Christ. But if you look into your heart, you've been making excuses for why you can't come to Jesus yet. It's a very dangerous thing to be too familiar with the things of God if you have other priorities above the things of God. You've grown up in church. You know all the religious talk. You know the religious language. You know the religious clothing. You know how to act. You know how to talk. You even think to yourself, I believe it, I really do. But if you're honest with yourself, there are other priorities in your life that are keeping you from full surrender to Jesus Christ. It's a very dangerous thing to be all too familiar with the things of God if you have other priorities above the things of God. This is a parable that brings to us, to the familiar, a stern warning. A warning to those who maybe pontificate. A warning to those who maybe speak in religious platitudes and who know how to play the religious game. You're in your small group and you know it's that time in breakout and everyone's sharing their heart and you've been in church your whole life. You know how to say the right things. You know how to appear that you're being vulnerable, but deep in your heart, you know you're holding things back. You're talking with friends on the phone and they're discussing your Christian walk and there's some things hidden inside. There's some things that are needing repenting of, but you're concealing it. You're hiding it, but you think you're okay because you're talking so religiously. You know it just what to say. You know how to tilt your body. You know how to bow your head. You know when to close your eyes. You know when to lift your hands. You're so familiar, maybe, with the things of God. This is a warning. Sidebar here, never disregard the warnings of Jesus. This is a warning. This parable comes to us to warn us, those of us who may be deep in our hearts, you don't really want to come to the banquet. You don't really want to come to Jesus. Maybe that's you today. Or someone watching online. There's some behavior that you love more than Jesus. There's some addiction that you love more than Jesus. There's some mindset, some pursuit that you love more than Jesus. And you're making all the excuses of why you can't come to him fully. This is a warning for the familiar, those who know the gospel, who understand the gospel, who understand the theology, who are familiar with church things, who are familiar with church life, and yet, maybe, you're too familiar and you have missed the point. That's what's happening in this passage. The Pharisees, all too familiar with the Old Testament announcements, announcing a coming Messiah, and there he was standing in the midst of them, and they hate him, and they think they're better than him. And they think they're in his kingdom, but they can't be in his kingdom because they don't want him. I wonder if there's people in the room who think they're in the kingdom. But you can't be in the kingdom because you haven't received him. You're familiar, but you've put Jesus aside. You don't really want him. You don't really want to come to the banquet. Real talk from the teachings of Jesus. We have a warning to the familiar. Finally, this. Write this down. We have an invitation to the far off. An invitation to the far off. I want you to notice verse 21. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house came angry and said to his servants, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who are invited shall taste my banquet." So here the parable reaches a moment of tremendous intensity. I want you to notice that Jesus never minces words. And quick sidebar here, ministers of the gospel, if we want to be like Jesus Christ, should never mince words. We have one job and one job alone, to proclaim the words of Jesus Christ. You should surround yourself with people who will tell you what Jesus has to say, and you should listen to people who will preach the word of God in such a way that doesn't mince the words, but tells you what Jesus has to say. That's a little sidebar. Jesus looks at these religious leaders, this elite religious group in the eyes, and essentially he says what John 1:9-12 says. I want you to notice it on the screen. John says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Loved ones, in this parable, those who were invited but made excuses represent the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They knew and heard and even claimed to teach about the coming kingdom of God. Yet, when the fulfillment of the kingdom of God was standing in the midst of them, when the fulfillment of their very own religion was standing in the midst of them, when Jesus Christ had come as their Messiah and deliverer, they rejected him. Their familiarity was useless. So notice what happens. Notice verse 21. "So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.'" Here we have three realities pictured in the parable. First, the tragedy of Jesus' own people rejecting him. The Pharisees, the people whose forefathers were the people of Israel, the people of God, the people who knew God, the people who had the law of God, the people who had the covenant of God. These were the people of God, but these Pharisees had drifted so far away. This is a tragedy that the Pharisees and religious leaders would reject the Messiah of God. We also have here something else. The beauty, though, of those who are far off coming to him. And we also have the hypocrisy and self-righteousness of the familiar who think that they're better than him. One of the most tragic things in all the Gospels that we read about is the tragedy of hypocrisy. You will notice that Jesus will spend time with the prostitutes. He will spend time with the tax collectors. He will dine with the sinners. He will have no problem. But when it came to the hypocrites, Jesus was always angry. You know better. And he came down on hypocrisy so hard. This, what we're reading about, is a tragic scene. These Pharisees have called Jesus into their home to try to trap him. They hate him. And here Jesus is turning the tables. They think they're in the kingdom, but Jesus is trying to expose them to tell them, you are not in, you're out. If you don't receive me, you can't be in. One of the greatest tragedies in the church is this kind of hypocrisy. Religious people who think they're in. Religious people who think they're the best. Religious people who think they're in, but they're trying to save themselves with their religion. They're really out. Many years ago, I remember as a young Christian, I was in high school, loved to play basketball, spent a lot of my time playing basketball, being part of a drop-in basketball ministry in a rougher part of Scarborough. I wasn't leading anything in that ministry. I just went to go play. And it was out of a church gym in the area. There was always a full house. I remember thinking to myself, if you just tell people basketball is happening, you'll get people in the room quickly. And sure enough, every single, I think it was a Thursday night, it was packed with people. But these weren't Christian people. This wasn't a gym full of Christians. But that was the point. Basketball would draw many, and the gospel would be preached as well. Now, sometimes it got pretty intense in that gym. Sometimes it got pretty violent in that gym, but here was our opportunity to gather people into that gym. I remember one of the leaders sharing with me, again, I wasn't a leader. I was just a young person there, just wanted to play basketball. I was a Christian. But one of the leaders shared with me once how much opposition he had from some of the people in the church who didn't feel it was appropriate to have these kinds of people in the church. That they're coming with weapons concealed in their gym shorts. They're coming high on drugs. They're coming, some of them, drunk. And they got a lot of people waiting outside. And there's a lot of chaos. And what are the neighbors going to think about our church? And we can't make the gym dirty after all. I mean, how are we going to have cookies and milk and coffee on Sunday in a dirty gym? Sometimes church people can get comfy and stuffy and familiar with church things. So familiar and comfy and stuffy that they miss the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice now verse 22. And the servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. Just before this, he said, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Who are these people? Who are these people that are being invited to the banquet? Oh, these are people that are far off. These are people that are not religious. These are not church people. These are people who others would look at and say, no, they can't be in. They don't belong. No, they have addictions. They have problems. They have brokenness. They're doing all kinds of things. No, Jesus says, go out and compel them to come in. What we find, loved ones, is the meaning of this parable. That the kingdom of God will not be populated with self-righteous, hypocritical religious people. The kingdom of God will not be populated by self-righteous religious people who think they can save themselves by their own working and their own religion. No. The kingdom of God will be filled with people you work with and go to school with and walk past on the streets, the addicted, the drunk, the adulterers, the liars, the thieves, the idolaters, all who have heard about the freedom of Jesus Christ and have been ushered into a relationship with Him where they find freedom. The kingdom of God will be full of those that we may look at and think they're the least likely to be in. Now, the Pharisees did a good job of cultivating an us and them mentality. It says us in the church and it's them out there. We do that at times. It says us over here with our nice Bible studies and our cozy church. But them out there, that's them over there. And what the gospel does is it eliminates that barrier because I was them. You were them. I was the broken. I was the addicted. I was the one who worshiped idols. I was. And so you understand the gospel when you understand that it's not us in the church and them out there, that I was them. And the Bible says, now Jesus says in the parable, go and compel them to come in. Compel them. And where do they go? They go to the highways and the hedges. You go out on the streets. You find the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, the most unlikely people. You go find them. Don't look for the people who look like they have it all together. They don't want the kingdom of God. Go for the people who are messed up, because that's what we were. And whoever realizes how messed up they are is set up perfectly to realize how great God is and how merciful God is. And how gracious God is, and how kind He'll be, and the healing He can bring. The kingdom of God will not be populated with self-righteous, stuffy, religious people who are so familiar with the things of God that they have missed the point of the gospel. No. The kingdom of God will be populated by those who seem far off, but will be compelled to come in. Notice how he ends it now. This is what he's saying in verse 24. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet. Speaking of eating bread in the kingdom of God, probably looking at this guy who just said that, he looks the religious leaders right in the eye and says, in the midst of this self-righteous Sabbath dinner, you know everything about the kingdom of God, but you're completely blind to the fact that the kingdom of God is standing within you, right before you, in the person of Jesus Christ. Loved ones, Christ's parable brings to us a warning to the familiar, to the stuffy, comfy churchgoers who'd rather look neat and tidy than to be honest and turn to God in repentance. But this parable, loved ones, is also a beautiful invitation to the far off, the broken, the unlikely. Maybe the gang member who came to that basketball program years ago, freaked me out half to death, concealing his gun under his gym bag. What's he going to do today? No. Maybe the girl that's waiting outside, who's high on drugs and broken inside, waiting for one of those guys to come out of the gym and show her some love and affection and acceptance. Or the coworker, or the neighbor, or the family member. Or the devout Muslim, or Hindu, or Buddhist, even atheist. Loved ones, there's a warning in the parable. There's a clear invitation, but listen. There's also a mission. Oh, that we would go to the streets and the lanes of the city of Toronto and bring in the crippled and the blind and the lame. Oh, that we would go to the highways and hedges to compel people to come in. Oh, that we would humble ourselves and know it's not us and them, but how I need God's grace every day. How broken I am most days. How weak and weary and unstable I am most days apart from Jesus. Maybe, loved ones, this morning, you need to come in. Maybe in this message, maybe you watching online, maybe in this message is compelling you to come in. Come. Jesus loves you. Jesus does not stand over you in condemnation. He came to save the world, not condemn the world, so that all who would turn to Him would find salvation. Maybe you need to repent of the sin of religiosity. Maybe you've been in church for a long time and you find yourself looking at people a certain way when they walk through the doors. Or thinking about people a certain way when you walk past them on the street, and thinking, we're the church and they're out there. instead of thinking, I was just like that, and I needed a Savior, and so do they. I pray this morning we would be a church that's strengthened, that we would be familiar with the gospel in such a way that transforms us and doesn't dull our hearing. And I pray that we are a church that goes to compel people to come in, because there's so many who are making excuses. They don't want to come in. There are many more that will. And we need to go compel them to come. Would you bow your heads with me right now? We're going to pray. And I want you to find your place in the parable. I don't want you to find someone else's place in the parable. I want you to find your place in the parable. Are you the invited who says, I don't want to go? Become so familiar with the things of God that I'm consumed with other things and I don't care to come? Is that you? Doing all the religious things, saying all the religious things, and meanwhile, you're making excuses. I pray for you that you would come in, repent of your religiosity, and find that there's salvation in no other name than in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in this room and you are among those who'd be classified as the far off in the streets, in the highways, in the hedges, the crippled, the lame, the poor, the broken, the blind. I want you to know Jesus welcomes you. We love you in this church. And maybe what you need to do this morning is you need to just take steps towards Jesus Christ as he's calling you. He's calling you right now. You say, man, I'm too dirty, I'm too filthy, you don't know what I did last night. And Jesus says, go to the highways and the hedges. Go to the streets and compel them to come in. You see, you don't have to come to Jesus all cleaned up. Just come to him with your brokenness and he will clean you up. He will. So to the hypocritical, we repent. For those who feel far off and unworthy, we repent and turn and receive his grace and mercy. Let's do that right now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every single person here and those watching online, whoever will be listening to this audio sermon, wherever this goes. I pray our church is full of people who understand the gospel so much that it fuels humility in us and it softens us towards people. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that is riding the wave of their self-righteousness, they would repent and say, Lord, I can't save myself with the clothes that I wear and the words that I say. No, I need salvation in Jesus Christ. I receive you. No more excuses. And those that are in this room or watching online or listening to the sound of my voice on the audio sermon, that if they are broken and they're lost and they're addicted and they're caught up in sexual sin, that you would show them how much you love them and how you can change them and heal them, how good you want to be to them. Oh, Lord, I pray. And for this church, I pray, Lord, right now, we go out to the highways and the hedges and the streets and we compel people to come in. This is our mission. Let it be so in this season of COVID-19. I pray tomorrow for our Thanksgiving outreach as meals are being packaged, prepared, distributed. Oh, God, I pray every meal goes in the hands of someone and hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray tomorrow it would be a Thanksgiving like none other for some because they hear about the glory and the message of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Open our eyes where we are blind. We want to see. We worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.